Well, it was 1 year ago that we found ourselves in the middle of a series that, just about every church, I think, in the country was in, just about every pastor was in, titled 2020 Vision, right? As we use that wordplay of 2020 to talk about God's vision for this next year. And as we talked about that vision, I don't think there's a pastor out there that, expected 2020 to play out the way that it did. When we were speaking those messages, we had no idea what 2020 was really going to look like. And it's kind of funny, as I think about the numerous conversations that I've had with pastors, especially pastors of smaller churches, how we quickly became TV evangelists, in a sense, or online evangelists, as we had to, navigate and learn how to do online services, and many of us using our phones and things to start with just so that we could communicate to our churches and, get out there and continue to be the church. And so it was a season of challenges. It was a season of changes that, forced us to, really rethink how we do church. You know, for years we've said that the church isn't a building. The, people are the church. And we were truly challenged in the reality of that statement this past year as we had to really learn how to be the church when we couldn't meet, when we couldn't gather. And as I was praying about this year, as I was praying about the vision for 2021, as I was praying about what God would have me share this morning, I actually went back because I was kind of curious thinking about that 2020 vision series and what did I speak about and what was I sharing, not even knowing what was about to hit. And as I kind of looked over my notes and looked over some of my messages, there was one message in particular that kind of stood out to me. It was a message titled 2020 Vision, Seeing Things Differently. And whoa, did we have to see things differently in 2020. And it was interesting as I went through that message, as I read it, I thought, wow, it truly was a message that I would call relevant for what we were about to head in, and we didn't even realize we were heading there. And so as I was hashing through the notes, I felt like the heart of that message was something that we should maybe hear again this year after coming out of 2020 and moving into 2021. And so I've kind of taken that message, I've kind of rehashed it and reworked it a little to share a message very similar with you again this morning, because I felt it was what God was calling me to do, and I wanted to be obedient to that. And it's a section of scripture that many of us are familiar with in Acts chapter 10. It's the section of scripture where Peter has this vision. And so I'm going to read to you a large section of scripture here, Acts 10, verses 1 through 33 this morning. And we're going to put it up on the screen so you can follow along. But you got to hear this whole story to get the context of what we're going to talk about today. And so here we go. Acts 10, 1 through 33 says this. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come as a memorial, have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had entered the house. Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "Three days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3:00 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I went for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Now, this scripture here, it's a pretty challenging scripture for Peter. And that's because he finds himself having to be open to some new thoughts, some new changes. And as many of us have seen this past year, we're not real good at new things, right? We're not good when things change. We don't want to have our routines. We don't want to have our way of thinking challenged or messed up. But the changes that Peter is about to experience here, they are some very important changes. Because up until this time, the only Jews who had become followers of Jesus Christ himself, the resurrected one, were Jews. And it's in this section of Scripture that we see the first Gentiles come to know the Messiah, Jesus. And this was huge, because God was revealing to Peter that he didn't just come to save Jews. He didn't just come to save the Israelites, the people who for years had been known as God's people. He came to save all people. It opened the door for all to come to know Jesus. And so as we look at this section of Scripture for this new year, for 2021, there are three things that I want to look at and share with you this morning. The first is this, and it's what the title of my message is based upon, and that's, number one, we all need to be open to change. We all need to be open to change. Because the truth is, we all have a tendency to see things with a skewed perspective. We all have a way of twisting things to work for us or to work for our way of thinking. Which means it's real easy for us to get off track or to head in the wrong direction or to head in a way that may be contrary to the Lord and His desire for our lives. Like I've said numerous times, all of us have a messed up theology in one way or another. Somewhere we have a messed up theology because none of us have it all right. We may think we do, but we don't, right? Now, some of us, we may have been raised with those messed up theologies, while some of us may have created our own messed up theologies along the way. And the problem is with these messed up theologies is that many of us, we just don't know which part is messed up. Maybe we have this right and this wrong, or maybe it's this right and this wrong. And because of this, this is why we need to be open to change. As I mentioned earlier, up until this time, all the people who had become followers of Jesus Christ, they were Jews. And as they went into the world to share the gospel, they didn't share the gospel with the Gentiles. Instead, they were going into the temple and telling the good news of Jesus to their fellow Jews, wanting these Jews to become followers of Jesus. And so up until this moment in time, it was only Jews that had been told about this new faith in Jesus Christ. Now, choosing to follow Jesus, it did change some things for Jews. You know, they no longer offered sacrifices the way that they used to because Jesus had become the final sacrifice. He paid the price. They no longer had to do all the sacrifices. Plus, they no longer just kept Saturday as the Sabbath because now they celebrated Sunday in remembrance of Jesus raising from the dead on that day. And so many of them, Sunday became their Sabbath. But even though these things changed, these Christians in the early church were still very much good Jewish people. And they still thought like Jewish people thought for the most part. Which means they still avoided things, right, that were considered to be unclean. Things like certain meats, right? Things like the Gentiles. Which is basically, if you don't know what a Gentile is, that's anybody that isn't a Jew, that is considered a Gentile. But you see, God was about to rock their world. God was about to change everything. Which is why Peter and these new believers needed to be open to change. They needed to be open to the changes that God was going to make. God's desire is that all would come to know Him, whether Jew or Gentile. And so God gives Peter this vision to help him see that things are changing, and that he needs to be open to the changes that God is bringing to their lives. In verse 28, Peter tells Cornelius and those that are with him, he says, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." That those things that they had considered to be unclean, God had now made clean. We see this first in the vision Peter had with the food that he was being told to eat, because this went against anything and everything he had been taught. So for him to begin to go down this road, to even think about eating those things, meant that he was going to have to be open to change. And by Peter's first response, we know that change isn't easy, like we've discovered, right? In verse 14, Peter responds saying, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." God had to actually show Peter this picture three times before it finally sunk in. You see, the reality is we all fall short. We all are messed up in one way or another. None of us have all the answers. None of us have it all right, which means we have to be open to change at times in our lives. Because the more and more we grow in the Lord, in our relationship with Him, the more He reveals to us and the more we begin to understand. You see, I can tell you that in the 25 years of being in ministry, it's hard to believe, in 1996, 25 years ago, I became a youth pastor in Eugene, Oregon. But in the 25 years of ministry, there are numerous parts of my theology that have changed. Man, I look back at the way I did things 25 years ago and my thoughts and my theology, and man, it was all messed up. You see, I've realized that the closer I get to God, the more I realize how messed up I've been at times in my lives. And I think that's true for all of us. See, Peter, he was a pillar in the early church. He was one of Jesus' closest disciples. Yet he had to continually be corrected by Jesus, and he continually had to adjust his thinking. We all need to be willing to adjust our thinking, to see things differently, to be open to change, and to let God use us through that change to accomplish His will. And it starts by laying our agendas aside. And maybe even right now our political affiliations. We got to lay those things aside. God doesn't see Republican, Democrat, whatever. He sees us as people. We got to lay those things aside and just seek the Lord. What is the Lord saying to us in this moment and in this time? You know, as I've mentioned, the church is more divided today than I think it's ever been, at least than it's ever been here in our nation, which just points to the fact that we're off somewhere. That we don't all have the right answers, because if we did, we would be on the same page. We need Jesus right now in the church. We need Jesus right now in our nation. We need His guidance and direction. We need to pray to God that He would help us be open to whatever change He has for our lives. Whatever He's doing right now in the midst of the COVID, in the midst of the elections, in the midst of the new year, and all these things, we need Jesus. We need to let Him show us the changes that we need to be open to. We need His guidance. We need His direction. We need to pray that God would help us be open to whatever change He wants to bring, to see the areas in our own lives where we're falling short. It's so easy for us to look and point at everybody else, but we got to stop pointing fingers at everyone else. We got to look at our own lives. Where are we falling short? And we need to begin to make the changes that we need to make so that we can see God's will accomplished in and through us. We need to pray for discernment so that we can see His truth. Not what we want to be true or what we hope is true, but what is true. What is the truth? And that we would be open to whatever change it is that God desires of us as we head into 2021. Amen. Second thing I want to share this morning is this. We need to see all people with God's heart. We see in these scriptures, or we see in the scriptures here, how God wanted Peter to respond to Cornelius and his men. First of all, God didn't want Peter to see these Gentiles as unclean, because that's how everyone viewed a Gentile. Every Jew viewed a Gentile as unclean. God didn't want Peter to see them this way. He wanted Peter to love and accept them just as they were. Now, it probably helped that Cornelius was a God-fearing man, that he knew who God was. We know that Cornelius had obtained the favor of the Jewish people already, and so maybe it wasn't as huge of a leap for Peter to accept Cornelius. But the hard part had to do with inviting these Gentiles into his house to eat with them, to stay with him. As Peter mentioned in verse 28, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. And you definitely wouldn't let them stay at your house or eat your food." And so it was huge for Peter to invite Cornelius' men to come in and stay the night. And then for Peter to go with them back to Cornelius' house to eat with them, that was huge. That this wasn't what a Jew would do before this vision. But Peter does it. Peter was obedient to what the Lord had spoke to him. And he accepted these men into his house. And he went with these men to stay at Cornelius' house. And it's because he was learning to see people the way that God does. With God's heart. To see them with his heart. Now, I was reminded as I was processing this of a story that I first read years ago when I started in youth ministry. It's a story about a visitor that shows up one day at a church. The visitor had kind of long, scraggly, a little dirty hair. His clothes were a far cry from the Sunday best that most of the people in the church were wearing that day. And as he entered the church, it was pretty full. There weren't many spots to sit. And so this young, scraggly-looking man, he just kind of made his way up the aisle to the front of the church, and he just sat right down on the floor in front of the pastor. Now, the place, it got kind of quiet as this happened. All of a sudden, you can kind of hear these little whispers going throughout the church. They began to say things to one another like, who does he think he is? Coming in here like that. Doesn't he know that this is church? Doesn't he know this is the house of God? And as the murmurs continued to go on, suddenly an elderly white-haired gentleman got up from his seat and began walking down the aisle towards this young man. Now many of the people, as they watched this, they thought, good, he'll take care of this situation. He'll straighten that young man out. But when the old man finally reached the gentleman at the front sitting on the floor, he touched him on the shoulder and said, is this seat taken? The young man said, no, man, have a seat. And so the elderly man painfully eased himself down onto the hard floor next to this young man. As that happened, the people in the church began to hang their heads in shame, as they realized how unloving and how unaccepting they had been in their hearts towards this stranger. Now, when you read these illustrations in youth books and things, I don't know if this was a true story or not, but it's a beautiful illustration of seeing others with God's heart. Because that's what That's what Jesus would have done. If Jesus was in that church, if it was a real situation, he would have got up and he would have gone and sat next to that man. Our desire here at Dallas Foursquare Church is for people to be able to come as they are. All are welcomed. All are loved here at Dallas Foursquare Church. And that regardless of who walks in those doors, regardless of who's out there listening online, that we would see them the way that God sees them and love them with the love of the Lord. You see, for years, the church, I think as a whole, has had this kind of arrogance about it, as if they are better than the Gentiles, than the non-believers. We have seen it even in our times, as if us as Christians are better than those non-Christian sinners. But the thing we have to realize is that we are no better. We're no better than the worst sinner that might wander in to this building or that might watch this service online. Now, we may be better off spiritually if we have a relationship with Jesus and have experienced His forgiveness and grace in our life. We may be better off in that way, but in and of ourselves, we are no better than anybody else. The reality is the ground is absolutely level at the cross. No one is better than anyone else. And we're all called to love one another and to see one another in the way that Jesus sees us, to see others with the heart of God. That's what we see Peter begin to learn here in these scriptures, and we see Peter begin to live it out. He began to see people with God's heart, and it changed everything. And it's an amazing testimony to us, which leads us to the final thing we can learn from Peter here in these scriptures. And number three is this: we need to be obedient to God's voice. You see, even though Peter initially resisted God's voice to eat something that was considered unclean, he resisted. Surely not, right? He realized, though, that God was desiring him to change. And he chose to obey the Lord. In verse 29, Peter tells Cornelius, "I came without raising an objection." He could have said, "Wait, I can't come with you. You are a Gentile. Jews don't associate with Gentiles." They would have understood that. People knew that. He didn't even raise an objection because he knew what God had told him. And he did what God had told him to do. And, you know, the question is, what if Peter would have refused to change? What if Peter would have refused to listen to the Lord? What if he would have refused to go? What would have happened? I don't know, maybe God would have sent someone else to Cornelius, maybe Philip or Barnabas or Paul. Maybe they would eventually minister to Cornelius. Maybe Peter's relationship with the Lord would have suffered and he would have gone through some struggles until he repented of his disobedience. We don't know the answer to that question. And here's the thing, it really doesn't matter. You know why it doesn't matter? Because Peter obeyed. He was obedient. He knew he had heard from the Lord. He had heard the voice of God speak. And he was seeing things now with God's heart. He was seeing what God was wanting him to see. And he responded appropriately by being obedient, by doing what God told him to do, even though it went against everything he had, was ever raised to know and believe. You see, when God speaks to us and tells us to do something, the right response is always going to be obedience. We may not always understand it. As a matter of fact, let me just give you an example. One of the toughest things for me in this time is that for months I've gotten emails from different people asking, "Hey, when are we going to meet again? Or why is that church meeting and why can't we meet, you know?" And the main reason that we haven't met in these times and that we won't meet till next week has been, you know, because of the restrictions that have put upon us. Or I should say part of the answer has to do with the restrictions that have been put upon us as a church. But the main reason that we weren't meeting is because every time I came before the Lord and said, "Lord, What is it we have? Why can't we meet? Can we meet? Other churches are meeting. Can we meet? And what I would hear the Lord say every time is, be patient. Wait. Not yet. That's why we haven't met. That's why we won't be meeting until next week. Because I had to walk in obedience. God said it, and so we did it. We waited until He gave us the go, and He gave us the go for next week. And I cannot wait till we come together, till I can see your face and just stop speaking in front of a camera. I look so forward to that day. But that day didn't happen until next week, or that day won't happen until next week, because God has said wait, and we have been obedient, and we've waited because of that. We may not always understand it. We may not always understand why God tells us to wait, why God tells us to do that or to do whatever. We may not always want what He tells us to do. We may not always like what He tells us to do. But we have to listen to the voice of the Lord, and we have to walk in obedience. Amen. Are we open to change as 2021 comes in the midst of all that's happened in the past year? Are we open to change? Are we seeking to see things with God's heart? Or are we walking in obedience? It starts with us seeking the Lord, asking Him to show us where we're falling short. This is what David did in Psalm 139, 23 and 24 when he said, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." We have to be willing to give up our own agendas. We have to be willing to lay down our rights for the Lord. Because the reality is, God always knows better than us. You know, we struggle with this as Christians. We think as Christians that gives us a right to do other things that other people can't do. I have my rights as a Christian. That's what we always claim. But did you know that when you said yes to Jesus, you gave up your rights to follow Him, not to follow your own ways anymore? It's time that we give up our own rights and we begin to seek the Lord and His will for our life as we move into 2021. Because I wonder if that's part of what 2020 was about. That God wants to do some powerful things in our life, some powerful things in our church, some powerful things in our community. But until we give up our rights, those things are not going to happen. Because it's not about what we want, it's about what He wants, and it's about His will being done in and through our lives, in and through this church, in and through our community, in and through our nation, in and through our world. Amen. Whew! I didn't know I was going to get so excited this morning. We have to remember the reality is God knows better than us. We have to remember that our knowledge and our understanding is often limited. We don't understand what 2020 was all about, and we may not fully understand until we're with Him. Or maybe here as we head into this year, things will begin to come clear. I don't know. But we don't always understand. Our understanding is often limited, and we need to be open to change. We need to see things with God's heart. This was something new and different to Peter. It went against what he thought, what he knew. And Peter had no idea how this simple act of obedience was going to open the door for all people to be saved. You see, we never know what our obedience to Christ will do. When I said yes to being a senior pastor, even though it was the last thing I ever wanted to do, I had no idea it would mean planting a church in Dallas, Oregon. I had no idea the blessing I would get from being part of such an amazing group of people. People who I believe are open to change. People who see other people with the heart of God and accept them and love them for who they are. When they walk in those doors, I love how our church responds to people. As we continue to walk in obedience, He continues to reveal more and more of Himself to us and to our church. And we continue to see things differently because we aren't seeing with our eyes. We're seeing with God's eyes. We're seeing with His heart. 2020 has brought all sorts of changes to our lives. And as we head into 2021, I believe we're going to see some changes. And so, let's be people who are open to those changes. Let's be people who don't cower or run from these changes, but who are open to them. They're open to how God is going to use these changes to help us carry out our mission to love Him, to love people, and to see His kingdom extended. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you this message, Lord. I know I got excited at the end, and again, you know my heart and desire is that I decrease so that you might increase. And I pray that the words that I spoke this morning were not my words, but yours. And I pray that what you spoke, Lord, that it falls upon each of our hearts as we're listening to you today, as we're receiving from your word. I just pray that you allow your words to penetrate our hearts, to challenge each of us where we're at, Lord. I know 2020 has been a tough year. And last week I just talked about you sitting around the fire with us, looking at us saying, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Lord, as we say, "Yes, we love you," our desire is now to be obedient and to carry out your will, to live the lives that you've called us to live. And so I just pray, Lord, that we would be open to whatever changes you want to do in us. If there's perspectives that we've seen one way and you want to change that perspective, that you would help us to change, that you would help us to be open, that we would pray Psalm 139, 23 and 24, "Search my heart, my thoughts, my ways, Lord. Are there any evil, wicked ways in me, Lord? Show me those things. Help me to get rid of those things, Lord. Help us to become the men and women of God that you've called us to be, to live the lives that you've called us to be, to walk in obedience and to see your will done in and through our lives. We thank you for these things. We just give you this word. We give you these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen."